You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. On today's show, are the Cowboys playoff bound with Amari Cooper in the fold? Plus, what's the latest with the beef between Rajon Rondo and Chris Paul? Also, Shannon is off today, but we've got a whole bunch of guests eager to fill his seat. Skip, guys, let's go.
So the Cowboys made a big move earlier this week, trading a first-round pick for Amari Cooper. Cowboy great Troy Aikman said he's, quote, a little skeptical about the trade, and Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio says the Cowboys' move is not good financially, and they should have drafted Falcons rookie wideout Calvin Ridley with their 19th pick instead. So Michael Rappaport still with us. Now we have James Harrison
now
joining the mix.
We have a better Shannon Sharp actually sitting.
Yeah, let's call this Skipping James till Shannon get back.
Oh, really?
I mean, wow. A little confidence over in that
taking
corner.
Over this place. Wow.
Either way, Skip, I'm going to start with you here.
Thank you.
With the addition of Amari Cooper with your Cowboys, I mean, is Dallas the new favorite in the NFC East?
Yes, they are.
The favorite.
They will win the NFC East because of Amari Cooper, unless that demonic Howie Roseman, the GM of the Eagles, does what he's been doing for 2 years, which is dominate the National Football League, unless he goes and gets Patrick Peterson from Arizona, because that would cancel out the Amari move in Dallas. But barring that, if it stays as is, the scales just tipped in Dallas's favor in an NFC East that hasn't even started. And I'm sorry, your Giants are done already, but that's a whole nother story. We'll get to that a little later. But may I address the Calvin Ridley angle, please? Because Mike Florio is trying to say that he would have been a better buy, and I assume a better player than Amari Cooper. Baloney to that. Calvin Ridley is not in Amari Cooper's league. Amari Cooper made two Pro Bowls as a rookie and a second-year player in this league, and that's pretty great. And if I put Amari Cooper right now in the Atlanta Falcons receiver mix, not good things, but great things would happen because, obviously, Calvin Ridley gets to play opposite Julio and Sanu. And you see that little Marvin Hall, their second-year player, catch a touchdown pass on Monday night. So they have speed everywhere. And Austin Hooper, as their tight end, is pretty good. So once, you know, if you put Calvin Ridley in the middle of that, yeah, he's going to rise and shine occasionally, but not like Amari Cooper. So it's money well spent. Next year he would cost $13.9 million. Show me a free agent that'll be on the market next year that would be better than Amari Cooper. There's just not one. So again, did they overpay with the first round pick? Yeah, because he's not worth the first rounder, but the Eagles had offered a second rounder. So what are you going to do? You have a chance to go win this division, and Jerry Jones finally did something, and he made the Dallas Cowboys a lot better because they don't have anything remotely
he makes
like
them
Amari
a lot
Cooper.
Better, but I don't think he makes them the favorite. I'm still rolling with Washington because I still have a defense that's pretty good.
It's good.
It's three versus your defense, and there are five. It's not that many yards in between them as far as everything goes.
Yards, yeah. My
I have a quarterback that is not going to lose me a game in Washington. Mm-hmm. He's going to control the ball. He's going to make sure he doesn't turn the ball over. I don't have that in Dallas. I seen that give a costly turnover that actually ended up costing them the game. Mm-hmm. And right now we're going off of what he has done his first 2 years, not what he's done his last 2 years. I have no doubt that he'll make them better. But the favorite is no way. Mm.
And it all depends on which Amari Cooper shows up. Because last year, quietly, I don't know how they didn't put it on him, he had the yips, okay? He was dropping passes. Dropping passes for a wide receiver is like, I don't know, if you're a broadcaster, can't talk. Oh, I mean, like, if you're a wide receiver and you're dropping passes continually over and over, and I love Amari Cooper, and I loved him his first two seasons, but last year was really bad. This year's been a garbage fire out there in Oakland. But he's got you're talking about Patrick Peterson. He's got Malcolm Butler coming up. After the bye, and that's no day at the beach.
No.
So is Amari Cooper? It depends on which guy shows up. I personally, I can't stand Dallas Cowboys and James Harrison. I got so many problems with the teams you played on.
Wow. But it
so many problems. But in my opinion, I think Amari Cooper, it'll be some fresh air. It'll be a change of scenery. Mm-hmm. And hopefully he can live up to the potential that we all know he has.
Okay, to your point, and I've been very open and objective about this. Over Amari's time in the league, 3+ seasons, he leads the NFL. He's tied for the lead in drop passes. Do I love that? No, I don't. Was he an unhappy camper in Oakland? I believe he was, because even yesterday there was a report that said he wanted out, which did my heart good, because there's one thing to get dumped, to get pushed out the back door. It's another thing that you demanded or requested a trade, and he did, according to a report yesterday. So he was done with them just as they were done with him. And there's also the stat that he ranks 210th over his whole career in percentage of targets caught. So that's not great. So you're throwing him a bunch of balls that don't always get caught. But could that be the quarterback's fault occasionally? Were they off-target passes? It could be. Okay. So in the end, you can address this, because
you're so excited about this.
Well, I am, because the owner has done nothing for a whole year except cut Dez Bryant. That's the only move Jerry Jones made, and he is the general manager. He is the operator of that football team. And I kept pounding this desk. Where are you? Wake up. Are you resting on your new Hall of Fame laurels? And he finally plunged and did something. He overpaid to again, fill the biggest void on the football team. They got a collection of number 3 receivers, and they're still hanging in at 3 and 4. Now they have a bona fide 2-time Pro Bowl number 1 receiver who's only 24 years of age. That's mind-blowing to me. And they finally, the front office and Jerry sent a message to that locker room. We're going to do something for you. Because how important is it in the locker room? Because you keep saying, we're playing with one arm tied behind our back. We don't. And all of a sudden, you got help on the way. And it's former 4th overall pick in the draft help. It's big-time help. This kid is gifted as a receiver. Does he have that dog in him? I don't know. But is he way better than what they have? The locker room, you think I'm excited? You don't think Dak's excited?
Of course he's excited. Yeah. I mean, he has to be. Like you said, you see what he did his previous 2 years, his first 2 years in the league. But his last 2 years, to this point, it hasn't been anything spectacular. Of course they're looking forward, because now he has something that he can look forward to throwing down the field to if he could get it to him. Now, he had some times last year where he couldn't get the ball down to Dez. So that could be
and a possibility.
That's going to be a situation where it's going to show if he can actually do that.
Okay, Dez led the league in drops last year, which is why Dez is still, unfortunately for Dez, sitting on his couch. And I don't know, I feel really sorry for him now, because once they went and got Amari, that's like over and out, right?
And what does this do for Ezekiel Elliott? If Amari shows up and he's playing, hopefully.
Oh, if he shows up, it does something great. It gets that 8 and 9 guys up out of the box. It makes them have to put 2 safeties back there at all times. You got to keep somebody over the top of him. It does great. It's a lot of it. If it was a 5th, we'd all be drunk, but we're sober.
I need wide receivers to catch the ball. That's what you're getting paid for. I don't care if it's missed passes, overthrown. You got to catch that rock.
Mm-hmm. Odell had one right in his lap in the end zone.
You can't throw me sneak attacks, anything about Odell. I got enough problems as it is. I know he had a few.
So, I predicted, silly me, before the season started, that Ezekiel would have a record-breaking year, and he's not off to the races. He's going nowhere fast. He had 34 yards on a grand total of 15 carries at Washington, because, to your point, they're really good on defense.
Exactly.
They're not as good as Dallas, because Dallas is 2nd overall in points allowed. But, again, if you even have a threat, whether he can catch it or not, Dez was no longer a threat, because Dez couldn't run anymore. His body's broken down, betrayed him, and nobody thought Dez could separate. Nobody thought Dez could run by you. But Amari has been, knocking on wood, he has been completely healthy for 3+ years. He is in concussion protocol, but as far as knees, shoulders, whatever.
But he still has the drops, as you said.
Okay, I got it, but he can still run 4-4. So all of a sudden, I have a threat that it can only help Zeke. It can only help Dak. Is the pressure now mounting on Dak Prescott? Yeah, it is, because everybody's, for reasons I can't figure out, everybody's taking shots. Like, everybody's doubting him when he played simply the greatest rookie quarterback season in the history of this league. You go find me a better one.
This is 17 years ago now.
He had an offensive line that was moving. They was doing a lot of work. Yep. He had a running back that was taking advantage of that offensive line doing a lot of work.
Innocence is bliss, too.
Okay. What are you talking about? I'm spitting facts.
I know you're spitting facts.
I'm not ignorant.
But he just kind of fell into it. Tony Romo was out there. Innocence is bliss. Now it's people figured him out. I like Dak. I hate the Cowboys. I like Dak. I want to see him do well. But listen, something's not right. If Amari Cooper could catch the ball, not asking a lot, it'll do wonders for everybody.
Okay. My only problem with Dak was in the offseason, I believe I counted 12 national commercials he did. 12. Maybe it's too many too soon.
Too many.
You might think that if he was your quarterback.
I didn't get any commercials, so I didn't know.
I know. Yeah.
They didn't want to do it.
But again, if Ben gets 12, Ben's got rings.
Got Super Bowl, got Pro Bowls. Yeah. He got it all.
Yeah.
You know?
So maybe you should do it before you advertise it, Okay, I'm with that, but now at least he's got somebody credible to throw it to.
Yeah.
And we'll see if he can catch it. Well, I
still
think
don't
he will.
See it makes him the favorites, though.
And remember, now you've got a kid who's coming in saying, Gruden, watch this. And I love that, because he's going to show Gruden he was wrong.
Got chip on your shoulder now. No
mercy. Hey guys, Jenny Taft here. More of the Undisputed podcast is on the way, but first I wanted to tell you guys about Quip. One of the most important things we do for our health every day is brushing our teeth, yet most of us don't do it properly. Luckily, there's Quip, a better electric toothbrush backed by over 20,000 dental professionals. What makes Quip the ideal option? Quip toothbrushes use sonic vibrations that are gentle enough for sensitive gums and even sensitive teeth. They come with a built-in 2-minute timer that pulses every 30 seconds to remind you when it's time to switch sides. It's perfect for me. Plus, for just $5, you can get new brush heads automatically delivered every 3 months, just like the dentist recommends, with a variety of slick colors, including my personal favorite, silver metal. Quip has something for everyone. Quip starts at just $25, and if you go to getquip.com/undisputed right now, you get your first refill pack for free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/undisputed. Now, back to the show and get brushing. No
mercy. We're going to stay talking about the Cowboys because so many layers to the story. They did lose that heartbreaker to the Redskins Sunday, and one of the reasons was a penalty call late in the game. Brett Maher set up for a 47-yard field goal, but the refs called a false start on the Cowboys' long snapper. Now Ed Werder reports Jay Gruden planted the idea in the officials' heads to look out for the way the center moved the ball.
What?
Exactly.
What?
The penalty pushed it back to a 52-yarder. Maher's potential game time field goal hit the upright. Skip, do the Redskins coaches deserve credit for the penalty call?
I'm about to snap over this snap because the Redskin coaches are actually taking credit for something that shouldn't have been called in the first place, that wasn't a penalty to start with. I'm going to restate my case. LP LaDuceur is the snapper for the Dallas Cowboys. You don't know him, but he is the longest tenured Dallas Cowboy. He's been there for 14 seasons. How long did you last?
16
seasons. So he's starting to get in your territory, but he's unknown, faceless. Nobody knows who he is. Nobody cares who he is until right now. He has snapped for over 400 field goals in his time in Dallas. And he said after the game, I did exactly the same thing I've done on all 400 of those snaps before. He always slightly wiggles the ball just to get a grip on it. That's before anybody gets set. Then he comes set with the ball to snap it, and he stayed set like he always does, as you can see on the video.
What the referee say, though?
Yeah, what's that?
What the referee say, they said that
okay,
was
the referee. Okay, so let's say that Jay Gruden is whispering in the ref's ear, you got to watch him. Well, if you're going to jump, wouldn't you jump when he wiggles the ball to get a grip on it? Did Jonathan Allen, you know what should have happened? The whole Redskins line should have collapsed on the Cowboys as soon as he wiggled the football, but nobody did. And when he came set and stayed solid set, all of a sudden, a second-year player from Alabama named Jonathan Allen jumped. And you know why he jumped? Because he just jumped the gun. He just screwed up and overreacted and dived across the line trying to block the field goal, and he was flat out off sides. It should have been -5 on Washington. It should have gone down to a 42-yard field goal, which my kicker would have made from 42 if he hit the very same field goal he hit from 52.
Head official said it was
illegal.
It hooks
inside the left upright.
Right call.
Yeah.
Head official said it was illegal. It was the right call.
It's a flat out robbery. And it's
all coaches give referees heads up about situations.
The Redskin coaches are taking credit for this.
They don't need to take credit. They can't make the call. They're just making them aware. Everybody goes into a game when the referees come in there and the coaches and the refs have their conversation. Everyone says, okay, hey, this player does this right here. They're questionable with doing this right here. This tackle jumps the ball like a half second before a snap. All that. This guy holds, but he does it tricky. He holds with his inside hand on your inside of your shoulder pad. Everybody does that. Yes. I get held more than anybody in the world, and they never called it. It don't matter. It's up to what they feel that it is at that point in time. Right then and there, like you said, they were looking for it. Maybe he didn't. Like, I trolled you yesterday. I'm not going to lie. He did set it and spin it and get ready and then didn't move.
Set.
Everybody, like, that's the first thing they tell you. This snapper has a pre-movement. Like, don't jump on this.
But every snapper has a pre-movement. They all do it. They all get a little grip.
If the ref calls it and the officials agree with it, the head of the officials agree with it, it's what is it?
You know what?
It is
what it is. Wait a second. If you'd called it in the first quarter, I'd say, okay, this is the game. The game's on the line.
I just want to point out, in all my years of watching you, Skip, I swear, I think this is the reddest I've ever seen your face.
And
I like
it. Furious.
Listen,
it cost me a game. We would be in first place.
I agree. I don't think referees should be dictating U.S. Open finals. I don't think you should have made that call. I do think the Redskins, listen, when I coached my son's 11-year-old flag football team to a championship, I worked those refs all game, and finally got the call. But I don't think that call should be made at the end of the game, especially when it's a guy who's doing the same thing, you know, play after play, year after year.
Sitting back looking at it after I got a good chance to look at it, yeah, that call shouldn't have been made.
Okay.
But I just love to see you red.
Okay,
but
I mean, Clay went nuts.
Okay, this is what drives me nuts. If he had gone to wiggle the ball to get his grip, get set, if he's wiggling and the whole line caves in on Dallas, then I got it. Then you got me. Because then the flags are going to fly and they say, oh, you're wiggling the football.
Well, they give you that. Once you set one hand on it and then you go to get the other one, you have a chance to get set with your second hand. That's what he did.
Okay, that's fine.
And then you don't move.
But do you think the Redskin coaches coach the second-year defensive tackle?
No.
Oh, you jump. You jump by yourself.
I agree.
Really, just you?
I agree.
Are you kidding me?
I agree.
How can you make that call?
He happened to jump, and they, like I said, they did what every coach does.
Work them.
Right. You give them the pregame.
Then, of course, I have to watch Al Riveron, the director of officiating, tweet that it was an illegal snap. Yeah. No, it wasn't. It's what he's done for 400-plus snaps. The game is it's sitting
they can't,
on a –
They can't say they were wrong. It cost them
okay,
the game.
Yeah, but here's what gets me. My team took over the fourth quarter of that game. And, again, he made the – fatal mistake that put them in a hole that they couldn't quite climb out of. Mm-hmm. But they were climbing. They were out. They had the momentum in the game.
We were always told never let the officials have control of the
game.
So
I got
what you do is you go out there and you play the other three quarters before
that's
that.
Like the oldest cliche in football.
You play the other three quarters before that and you wouldn't have been in that position.
Okay, but they were in that position and it was a bogus call.
Oh, well.
And even Tony Dungy, who's usually pretty mild-mannered on NBC on the Sunday night games, he went crazy about this and called it, and I quote him, a horrible call. And he said, we've looked at it multiple times, and I don't see a violation. I don't see any absurd movement of the football other than he just got his grip.
Was this against the Cowboys, or was this to actually get you to this? Do you think there was a conspiracy? Because I'm loving what I'm seeing. You, like, literally.
Oh, it's conspiracy for Skip.
They were like, we want to watch Skip on Undisputed on Wednesday.
Okay, watch it, but it's totally nuts.
It's just a robbery. You understand, I grew up in this rivalry, and it is one of the great rivalries. I know you guys had it with the Ravens, anybody in your division. But still, really Dallas-Washington, it runs deep. And again, my team has dominated them for a long stretch. Your guy now, Kirk Cousins, was 1-6 against Dallas.
Oh, yes.
And so it matters a little more to me. And Jay Gruden said after the game, All I care about is we beat Dallas. And it does. It's almost like his job hinges on he needs to beat Dallas. And if you lose that game, I don't care what your record is, you're going to be on the hot seat. And all of a sudden, his seat was getting real hot because the momentum belonged to Dallas. Let's just say, I know this is hypothetical, let's say Dallas wins the overtime coin toss and they just take the ball and go down and score. I just felt like it was going that direction, like they finally had figured out how to move the football, what plays were working, and Dak had gotten in rhythm. He was a warrior. He'd banged up his knee and his left hand, and I think he got concussed, but they let him play. Yeah. I was shocked by that. So he's just battling his guts out. You got him on the ropes. All you got to do is close the deal. What was it, 23-all with the field goal.
And more aggressive play calling could help, too. Made a shorter field goal, but go ahead.
Okay, but you know what? I think they did call aggressive plays. I think he took the underneath routes twice. They call pass plays, and there were receivers going deeper, running deeper routes. But they got in position to do what you have to do to close the deal to get to overtime. So I don't have any problem with the play calling. At least they threw it. They didn't run it three straight times.
Well, they couldn't run it. They wouldn't run it. You say Zeke would have
15, well, he wasn't. They ran the last play to set up the field goal. I think he got 6 yards. So, and that was like a great run for him. So they're home. And the kicker's been very consistent. But all of a sudden, you push him back from 47. It should have been 42. But you push him back to 52. And it just hooked just enough to hit the left upright. And it's not about me. I still think it's about Jerry Jones. I just think anything that could go against the Cowboys that has to come from above – Jerry's not going to get
it. He's
break.
Brought it on himself.
He has.
He's brought it on himself. It's
no,
not like
he's
Jerry's
taken on
victim,
the lead
Jerry.
Too many times.
Yeah, sorry, Jerry.
Yeah.
Sorry. Right.
But you'd love to have him as an owner.
No, we don't like his type in New York City. We're good. You keep him
you're
where
good.
He is. We're fine with
oh,
him.
Oh, that penalty call may give it's you a nightmare, like, Skip. I'm sorry.
And they're taking credit. I was okay. I
they
let
should.
It go.
If I was let a good list, that's something to be proud of. We worked the refs. We warned
you
the refs.
You sleep over this, you know,
well,
yeah.
I did. But it's Jay Gruden wanting some job security because he didn't have much coming in. So now he's got to take credit for I set this up.
I have no problem with that. I would be told, like, that's elation. He mentioned it early, worked them. He worked them when they were on defense. He goes, yo, later on, I'm reminding you.
Yeah.
And then when it was there.
Yeah, and we're going to cost Dallas this game. Way to go.
He did it.
Yeah,
James Michael,
congratulations.
Come back later. You successfully got him going.
Nice.
Always a good time.
No mercy.
Back to the NBA we go. Rajon Rondo and Chris Paul are currently serving suspensions for their roles in Saturday's fight. CP3 claims Rondo spit on him, but Rondo has continued to deny it. He told ESPN yesterday, I had a mouthpiece in my mouth and I was exasperated because I was about to tell him to get the bleep out of here. We're joined once again by Michael Rappaport, James Harrison. We're mixing it up today, and yep. That spit, or was it a spit, has been the talk of the town. Mm-hmm. James.
That was spit. That was no
spit?
Question about it. Yes, mm-hmm. That was spit. You can see as he's, like, standing there turning back to go this way, it's, like, just drizzle, spit down.
Drizzle,
he's not
spit.
Trying to, like, shoot it straight to his face, but he's trying to spit on him, and he came through with spitting on him.
Okay.
And the reason, you know, Chris took so long to react is, like, it's that mist of, like, did he really just spit on me? And as he looked away, yeah, you just spit on me. That's why you're looking away. You're trying to make like you didn't do it on purpose and you did.
Hmm.
So it's no question in my mind he spit on him.
So if at the end of a play some offensive tackle had done that to you, you react by doing what?
I'm giving him, like, three-piece. I'm trying to pop his helmet off. Mm-hmm. It's, yeah, game got to stop. And I probably got to see him, like, after the game because that's, like, that's the most disrespectful
it
thing
is.
You could ever do to anybody.
Absolutely. You would be fined. You would be suspended. But
I would
you're
take
good.
All that. I'm good with that. Yeah. Yeah. Games, okay. Checks, all that. That's about respect to me.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, if we see the spit, you can't acquit. I'll say it again. If you see the spit, we can't acquit.
Ooh, I like that.
He spit on him. If it was an accident, then he could have even said it was an accident. You know, like I talk, you know, people, you talk trash, whatever. Sometimes it happens.
Yeah.
He spit on him. And, you know, listen, the thing is now, first of all, we never hear from Rondo. Now we've heard him talking and saying all these things for all his time in the league. If Chris Paul's this, Chris Paul's that, back it up with some facts. You spit on the dude. You know, I just don't like all this chirping and complaining and all that stuff. Like, why is Chris Paul a bad teammate? You spit on the dude, take responsibility, or say, I did spit on him. It was an accident. I would never do that, yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm. So, I believe that Rondo, bless you, that he spat at him, but he didn't actually connect with the spit on
it. Oh, he connected.
It.
You can see. I don't think he catched the mist.
I thought it just sort of
popped
into nowhere.
That's that he's talking to the ref. He's going sideways like this. And I'm like, oh, you really did. You just spit on
him. Took him a second.
And you can't tell me, even though Rondo continues to vehemently deny it, as does his coach and a lot of his teammates,
but it
was intentional spit.
Yes.
They were little spits, but they were spits nonetheless. I don't think they landed,
spit on somebody.
What's that?
You can't little spit on somebody. Like you said, talking and a ball come out, yeah. Okay.
He didn't Tupac him. Remember when Tupac spit at the roof? No, he didn't do that. He didn't Tupac him.
Yeah. I got it. But Rondo said, how do you spit with a mouthpiece in? Well, you can spit with a mouthpiece in. You can do it. Easy. Okay? So he wanted to try to get away with little spits to me, and it's just like a little machine gun, you know, just little, they're just little spits. And I don't think he really intended for them to land, but he just wanted the message sent, this is what I think of you.
Still not okay.
It's not okay. And yet Chris Paul, given his reputation for just snapping and cheap-shotting opponents, he actually exercised pretty great restraint because his reaction was just like, I'm just going to poke him in the face. Like, you know, and then Rondo loses it and throws a left, which I don't think quite landed. And then Chris Paul actually ended the fight with one good uppercut, and I think it drew blood.
He got a left. The left, see, y'all seen the uppercut coming.
They were weak
he also
left.
Caught a left. The left caught his lip. That's what got the
Chris
going.
Paul left.
They were both flailed. Like, you need leverage when you throw a punch. You got to have leverage. Yeah. Joe Louis, you know, he had a great short right hand. But the thing is like, the spitting, the not spitting, and all this stuff, it's just, you can't spit on anybody and expect this to happen this way. And whether or not Chris Paul, you know, is a bad teammate and everybody's saying these things, I just don't know what this is turning into now. It's like the Zapruder tape with JFK, like there's this angle, there's that angle. Where is this going to go? You can't spit on...
Spit on nobody.
You can't spit. I don't think Chris Paul should be suspended. Yeah. And also, right after the play happened, you heard, I believe it was Doris Burke say, he said he spit on me. So it wasn't like this was a day later.
Right.
He said immediately.
You can see as he's going to put his finger in his face, he's like, did you just spit on? You can see the words coming out of his mouth. So, yeah. And even after it happened, like, just for like 4 or 5 seconds, they just letting him go. Melo sitting there, Bron sitting there. They're like, They just let him go for like, then they finally grabbed him. So, like, I know it's no feeling. He spit on him.
And if Rondo didn't do it intentionally, be like, yeah, I did, and I could, you know, apologize about the spitting, but to not take ownership of spitting, this will go down in history as one of the dirtiest things, the most like Evander Holyfield's ear biting, Manny Machado's kicking, when that lunatic Terry O'Reilly from the Boston Bruins went into the stands at Madison Square Garden and not only beat the fan, but he beat him with his own shoe, Skip. That's not okay. This will go on with one of those dirty moments.
Mm-hmm. Oh. So, in your league, the classic spitting incident occurred on Monday Night Football a little before your time, but it was Bill Romanowski.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know Romo at all?
I know he's talking about him. Yeah.
And he spat in the face of J.J. Stokes and Shannon Sharpe, sitting in right now, was sort of the leader of that team. And they had to have, to quote him, a come-to-Jesus meeting over that because they were not happy with their teammate, Bill Romanowski. But he used that tactic as a distraction, as a, I'm going to get under your skin.
That's not a distraction. Well,
no.
It's disrespectful.
Okay, but
distraction is talking about you.
Romanowski was a really good football player who won a whole bunch of rings.
He was nuts.
He was just a little out there. But again, he could back it up. Like, if you wanted to fight, he would fight you. So he was ready to fight if you wanted to fight. And he thought J.J. Stokes was a soft player, so he's just going to try to get under his skin. But it's a line, as you say, nobody crosses that line and gets away with it. So did you ever see any spitting at all in your career? Did you encounter it anywhere?
I haven't encountered anybody that's actually just went and just spat on somebody.
No. Nope.
Like, you had a situation where a guy may be talking and, like, you see spit fly from his mouth.
That's
but it's
different.
Not a, you know, or like he
so
did.
So you never encountered it in a single game?
Who's going to spit on him?
No.
Like, who's going to spit?
You know, you can step on my hand like you accidentally trying to get up and you step. Okay, I could take that. But you cannot spit on me and think the game is going to continue. Game's about to stop.
So you never saw it in your whole career?
I haven't seen anyone spit on
And that's why Chris Paul said, in all my career, which is getting lengthy. Mm-hmm. He said, this has never happened to me. Yet the irony that we talked about earlier in the show is that, to your point about being a horrible teammate, Chris Paul's image has gone unscathed for years when, to me, he's the dirtiest player of his era. And the irony of this whole discussion is he's the victim now of the spitting when, in fact, a lot of players have been victimized by Chris Paul, many of them mm-hmm. below the belt shots.
That's also okay? bad.
Mm-hmm. So I know that doesn't really happen in your game, but again, yeah, that's close yeah, to, can, okay, can, but that's not quite spitting on somebody, but it's close. It's in the ballpark.
It's the same thing. Below the belt shots.
No. Spitting is way worse than anything in the world. Like that's, you can't top spitting.
You can't.
It's impossible.
Like cheap shots.
I'll just spit on you right now.
But then
it's a fight.
Don't.
I agree. But cheap shots.
Right.
When you're playing sports, I mean, I get what you're saying. But cheap shots in the below the belt area and spitting, it's in the same.
No. Not even close. Spitting, dude. Spitting. That is the most. I can't even imagine if my child was to spit on someone, I would beat him like he stole something. That is the most disrespectful thing you could ever do to anybody. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, I agree.
But wait a second. At the end of a closeout game, it's the Clippers versus the Memphis Grizzlies in Memphis, and the game is over and the series has been decided, and Chris Paul just snaps and loses it, as he is wont to do occasionally, despite his State Farm ads that make him out to be the nicest guy ever. Mm-hmm. But he got a running start and hit Mark Gasol right in the groin area.
That's crazy to me.
Running start mm-hmm. and just doubled him over with a punch to the groin. And I'm saying, what just happened? And guess what? Chris Paul is so respected by other players in the league because he's the president of the Players Association that as he got thrown out of the game by Joey Crawford and left, you know, this is like a minute before the buzzer, several of the Memphis Grizzlies ran after him and shook his hand like
really?
Nice series. And I thought they were first running after him to fight him because mm-hmm. them is fighting words, man.
You can fight on that, yeah, but it's okay. still not as disrespectful.
Okay,
as
I got you. I'm with you.
That's the ultimate.
Yeah, I agree. I don't. Was it the end of the series that mm-hmm. they were?
It ended.
I don't know. I mean, is this going to hurt his image? Who knows? I don't know.
How could it not? I mean, I'm afraid this story might stick with him for
Rondo
for a while.
Yeah,
for Rondo.
Well,
he's going to regret.
No,
that
but
one.
Now yeah. no, but people coming out like Big Baby coming out against him, Rondo
against Chris.
You know,
Paul.
Are more people
all of a sudden he's in the true. Spotlight?
But also, this isn't the Real Housewives. If you're going to say it. Like, yo, why is he a bad teammate? You know, like you know, let's get into it.
All right, James, thank you. Good stuff today. No
mercy. Well, LeBron's start in L.A. has not gone as planned. He missed both free throws late in overtime and a jumper at the buzzer in Monday's loss to the Spurs that dropped the Lakers' record to 0-3. But LeBron still seems optimistic. After the loss, he said, quote, I know what I got myself into. It's a process. I get it. And it will be fine. We are joined by friend of the show, Michael Rappaport.
Welcome.
Glad to be here.
Is this the earliest you've ever been up in your life?
Not ever in my life, but you know, I woke up this morning and I said, I have a lot of respect for you guys every morning out here in the grind.
Thank you. You know what we're dealing with.
It's early in the morning when it's still dark out.
Well, I have a lot of respect for LeBron James.
Oh, do you? Well, you know, Skip, since you're kind of the regular here, I'm going to go with you on this one.
Thank you, Jim.
How much blame do you give LeBron for the way this has started?
I'm going to honor LeBron James today by giving him 100% of the blame for 0-3. I'm going to give him a pass this year on competing for a championship because obviously he doesn't have a co-star or a second star, at least for this year. So he took 1 year sort of off, if you will, from all the pressure and expectation. But I am not going to give him a pass for losing three games that his young and old teammates put him in position to win all three times. At Portland, Lonzo hit a three that cut it to 1 with 8 minutes left. That's good position to go win that game. Then against Houston, when the brawl broke out, they're only down 1 with 4:13 left. Down 1 at home. And then against San Antonio, overtime, do I need to remind everybody, they're up 6 with 55 seconds left at home against what's left of my San Antonio Spurs, who don't have their point guard. DeJounte Murray's gone for the year, and there's obviously no Manu, no Tony Parker. You got to close that deal. You got to close King. And I'm saying all I ever hear on this show from that seat is he's the best player on the planet. Okay, I'll honor him. I'll give you that. All I hear is he's better than Michael Jordan. I won't give you that, but that's all I ever hear. So I'm sort of raising the bar way up here for him, even without a co-star. So in the end, all I know is that at Portland, he just disappeared down the stretch. I know it was just game one, and he's never been very good in game one, and he doesn't really know his teammates that well yet. But I'm not going to give you a pass. You're the best player on the floor. And then against Houston, everything's chaotic. You're the best player on the floor with 4 minutes left at home. And against San Antonio, do I even need to bring up the fact he missed two free throws because he always is a liability at the free throw line late in games? I don't get it. It's the worst Achilles heel any superstar has ever had in the history of sports. He can't make late game free throws. I don't know why. It's in his head. He's got demons. He just chokes his brains out at the free throw line late. And I'm not saying he's a choker, but when that happens, when he gets in that situation, he either runs from the free throw line or when they intentionally foul him, you know what's coming. He's going to miss one or both. And he missed both, which put him in a position of having to shoot a three at the end of the game when he should have driven the basketball. He's simply the most unstoppable driver of the basketball in the history of this game. But he's going to run from the late game free throw line. So, again, three times, they should be 3-0. His teammates put him in position to be 3-0 in games they should have won. I know Houston's really a good basketball team, but that's at your house. And you got to win your home opener against Houston when you're that close with 4 minutes left in the game. So, again, I'm honoring him by saying 100% of the blame.
I'm going to quote the great James Brown. I'm going to pass the peas like they used to say. I give him 100% of the blame.
Goodness.
Because if they were 3-0, we would be giving LeBron James 100% of the blame.
And he would deserve it.
Yeah. Now, listen, he missed those free throws that Kobe would have made. Michael would have made. Excuse me. I'm not passing the peas yet. that Michael would have made, that Larry Bird would have made, that Steph and KD would have made. And listen, I don't think they had a great camp. I think the happiest person in the world about Spitgate is LeBron James because it defers off of him.
True, good
and,
point.
And I just feel like I will not be so. I'm not saying he's lost a step, but I will not be surprised if he does what he did when he first went back to Cleveland, and he might take those 2 weeks off because he
to
doesn't.
Miami, you say
he might go to the yeah. He might go for some reason go back to Miami because I feel like there's not that sprightliness. It's the beginning of the season. He looks a little like, you know how towards the end of last season, and he was magnificent. It's like he was like pushing through. He feels like right now he's sort of pushing through physically. I saw him one time after running up and down the court a couple of times, catching his breath. Listen, I came on the show last time. I said that they're going to be in the Western Conference Finals. I still think that. But even the second game at home, there wasn't that excitement in Staples Center because they were like, oh, well, this isn't what it was cracked up to be. I was expecting a religious experience.
You're talking about the Houston game.
Yeah, it was.
No, you're talking about the San Antonio.
No, I'm talking about the San Antonio game. It was just like that. It was like it was a little bit of deflation in Staples because it's not all that it's cracked up to be. And I feel like their camp must not have been that good. It is the beginning of the season. But this ain't the East. You can't wait till Christmas to figure it out. No. By Christmas, you could be like fighting to get in the playoffs.
You're
in the West
and
now.
They well might be.
You could be. And, you know, we've been hearing about, you know, Space Jam this and the shop and this and all these things all summer. And he did a lot of great things with the school and all the things that he did. But at the end of the day, you are a basketball player. Like, Kobe loves storytelling. But at the end of the day, it's like they're always going to want to talk. When you talk to Kobe, the first thing you want to be able to talk about is hoops.
Right.
So I'll pass the peas to you.
Okay, no surprise that you two guys gave 100% of the blame to LeBron James. Now let me bring some rationality to this situation. LeBron hasn't been great.
Nope.
He has not been the best player in the world these first three games. I don't even know he's been a top four or five player in the league thus far. Okay, he hasn't played up to LeBron James standards. However, if we do a pie chart of blame for why the Lakers are 0-3, I'm going to split it up into thirds. The first third I give to the other Lakers because, number one, they have not played a lick, and LeBron's one of them. They have not played a lick of defense. Not a lick. They are ranked 26th in the league in defensive efficiency. They are giving up. You know how many points a game they're giving up?
132 points a game.
Get used to it across the league, though.
But nobody's giving up that much. They're dead last, 132 points a game. I'm definitely surprised. That's like a football team giving up 47 points a game.
I said before the year, nobody plays defense starting with the best player on the team.
Yeah. He's not, and that. I agree. But here's my thing. The young legs. They got young legs. LeBron has an excuse. He's old. He's in his 16th year. I don't expect him to get out there and be a great defender anymore. But the young guys, they're using their youth to run up and down and shoot layups, but they're not using it to get down and buckle down and play defense. So I give a third of it to the other guys. I give a third of it to the front office and the coaching staff for putting together this mismatched team. Now, did LeBron James have something to do with putting together this team? Yes. I don't know if he actually said, here's the guys I want, go get them, Magic and Rob, or if they said, hey, what do you think about so-and-so? Yeah, I like it. Whatever it was, LeBron was involved. I don't know who had the final say, but at the end of the day, the buck stops with Magic and Rob Pelinka because I don't care if LeBron did tell you, go get these guys. You have to make a decision. Well, that doesn't fit. You've always had shooters. How's the floor going to be spread for you to drive if we got no shooters? And it's not like Cleveland where he had the one-year deals. Hmm. And he could dictate because they were afraid he'd leave. You got him locked up for 4 years. And you're Magic Johnson. LeBron, is he bigger than Magic? I don't know. Yes. Magic is, okay, but yeah. Not in L.A. No. And Magic is big enough. He's bigger than Pat Riley, too. But Pat Riley put the foot down in Miami and said, no, we're doing it this way. So the front office could have did that. And Luke, I look at, where's the defense? What in the world are y'all doing in the half court? They're only good when they run up and down and get layups. So a third to the front office, too. And then a third to LeBron James. He, like I said, he's not played like the best player in the world. Don't give me 27, 8, and 8. That looks nice. Heck, in this day and age, guys are putting up ridiculous numbers. What's Antetokounmpo, 29, 16, and 8 or whatever it is.
Anthony
so
Davis.
Right, and you're right. He hasn't. They were in all three of those games. He didn't close it out. Obviously, San Antonio. But let me say this, because I watched you the other day say Kobe would have made those free throws.
Right. Yeah, Larry too.
And I sat there and I said, you know what? I have to agree. Kobe would have made at least one. But then social media, Twitter. I saw all these videos of not only Kobe Bryant missing two free throws in the exact same situation, but Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan missing two free throws in the exact same situation. Kobe did it. Of course, he did it. I checked with Steve. He did it like almost maybe 10 times. But certainly the one against Portland, it was the same thing. They're down one. So it happens to the best of them, literally.
It happens way too often to LeBron James. Even if I just go back to the beginning of last basketball season, he's now 10 for 21 with 15 seconds or left in the fourth quarter of overtime. Or overtime of one possession games. He's 10 of 21. What's that, 49%?
It's something there. I'll give you that.
Well, career.
I was encouraged because, and you admit it, he wanted the ball though. Remember when he got the inbounds, he held it until they fouled him. So he didn't run from it, but he did miss him.
Okay. Well, we heard a lot in the offseason about all sorts of things. We didn't hear about him shooting free throws. I'm just saying. You can only do so much. There's only so much multitasking you can do.
The buck also stops on your preseason prediction because you said they're going to win 54 games.
I know.
You're ripping them after you predicted that all that was great.
When I saw what they were doing, Lance, Rondo, Beasley, JaVale McGee, my instinct was, what in the world? Where are the shooters? I think I even tweeted it. Then I talked to some people around the situation. Well, this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to get some dogs. We're getting some versatile defenders. We can switch everything like Houston did with Golden State. You're not going to outshoot them. You know, we can get up and down. And we got decision makers other than LeBron, you know, and it made sense. Like, you know, and look, like you said, let's see how this goes. I'm not writing them off. Now, 53 looks like a pipe dream. But I think they'll get in the playoffs and if they don't get us the eighth seed,
so you're revising your prediction after
three
games.
No, I'm gonna stick with it, but I mean, it's not looking that great right now because 53 wins and the West is looking maybe tougher than we thought with Denver and Utah and Memphis is actually even playing
and
well.
New Orleans.
Yeah,
and
New Orleans looks special.
Don't sleep on the Clippers either. They're pretty good.
I agree.
Right now, the Kings have more win than the King. Okay. Right now, the Sacramento Kings.
That. Yeah. That's clever.
Yeah, you can run with that.
And by the way, speaking of the King, I've said this for 2 years. He plays no defense anymore. Through Monday night's game, he ranked 338th in individual defensive win shares. And another key play on Monday night in overtime was that LeBron, as usual, just hung back in the lane and he watched Rudy Gay go to the top of the circle and say, I'm open, give me the ball. And he shot an uncontested three that got them back in position to do what they did when he missed the free throw.
And here's one of the things I was looking at and as one of the things I want LeBron to do as well and why I held this against him with his 35% blame I put on him. He's got to get these guys to understand the importance of defense, but it's hard. Even if you're the best player in the world, that's what I'm saying. It's hard to do that, even as great as you are, if you're not defending. If they don't see you doing it, it's going to be hard for them to do it.
This life lessons, old man by the sea, you know, he's got to. These guys, listen, that's got to happen in practice. On the court, you got to let these young dogs, Kuzma, Lonzo, Hart, let them go. They don't need to sit there and be like, hey, when you fall down, forget all that. Let them play. When they're free, they play well. Hart's like an attacker. Kuzma's an attacker. Lonzo, you know, when he's free, he's an attacker. Like, nobody wants to sit there and defer to him and Rondo, like, okay, boss. Oh, well, you guys, when you won the championship in Boston, none of that matters. Those guys were 10 years old when that happened.
And when he was mic'd up on Saturday night, he was really directing traffic on defense. Switch it. Get over the top. Switch. But he's not actually playing himself. He's just calling out.
And the half court offense, it's going to be tough to figure this out because one of the challenges of playing with LeBron is that he does so much. He does everything. He can bring it up the court. He can post. He can be in the elbow. He can be on the wing. That you have to adjust almost from possession to possession. Okay, where do I go? The easiest guys it is to play with LeBron are just spot up shooters. Because those are the guys you can't create on your own, so you're just sitting there waiting. He's going to drive. But now, you want him with the ball in his hands a good amount because he's so great with it, but
I thought that wasn't going to happen. Remember, he was going to change.
He's clearly not as comfortable off the ball. But when he's – because I like him – when he's off the ball in the post or on the elbow, you see he's making some great bounce passes and things like that. But then sometimes he's off the ball just kind of standing – on the
Chris,
top of the
I'm gonna say what key, I've been taking for taking 10 years, possession when up. Push comes to shove, this team will be at its best when he has the ball in his hands.
That's what he does.
But here's the problem.
He was born with the ball in his hands.
I agree.
He's never going to change.
But here's the problem. You don't have the shooter. So that last shot, I was disappointed in the step back 22 footer, right? But he couldn't have driven all the way to the hoop because the Spurs were stacked in the lane.
They weren't stacked in the lane.
They weren't.
On that side, it was Bryn Forbes if he went to the left.
He was giving him – you mean the guy covering Josh Hart?
No, Rudy Gay's on him man-to-man. Right. Man. Mm-hmm. But if he drives to his left, Bryn Forbes is on whoever's over on that side.
But he's moving – like, I think they would have cut LeBron off if he had tried to drive. And that's the problem when you don't have shooters. If you have shooters, the lane's going to be open and you can drive.
You know what? I'll take Josh Hart or Kyle Kuzma shooting that last second shot over LeBron. I just will.
Well, Someone's getting traded.
He's hit his fair share of clutch shots. No, we know that.
Okay, he has. But again, I would have taken that because they were showing me those guys got guts. They are fearless.
I agree.
Both of them.
And they need to be free and young and
They've
be fearless.
They've been free in the transition.
Yeah. But I think someone's getting traded. One guy is going to get traded. They have too many guys that are similar. I don't know who they're going to trade him for, who he's got in his Rolodex, but one of those guys is going to go.
Last quick point, and I used to say this about Michael Jordan because it disturbed me about him, but LeBron brags about smoking cigars and drinking wine, and at some point as you get older, 16, 17, 18th year, you can't do that. I'm just saying, is he starting to fade a little bit? Does he have the wind and the stamina that he used to have? I don't know. But if you keep doing that, the older you get, the more it's going to affect you.
And he has
just trust me on that. Because he brags about it all the time.
Like, he's in great shape, though, for a guy in his 16th year.
But I haven't seen the shape manifest itself down the stretch of these games where he's in better shape than everybody else on the court.
I agree. He might go to Miami for 2 weeks like he did in Cleveland
for some reason.
I don't know why.
Back in action tonight. I know they shouldn't have any problems in Phoenix, but he's never started 0-4 in his career. So they need the win tonight. Never.
Phoenix is talented.
Never.
Oh boy, that'll be fun tomorrow if that's the case. No mercy. Chris Broussard, Rob Parker, joining the conversation. Thanks for being here today.
You know what, Skip? It will be unbelievable for Chris to be wrong on television in the morning and then in the afternoon on our radio show. So he'll be wrong twice.
Oh, boy.
That's my radio partner, Chris Broussard.
We're an odd couple. We're odd because I'm right and he's wrong.
Is that it?
Interesting. I've heard that before here. All right, let's get back to the NBA. Even with LeBron on the team, the Lakers are a disappointing 0-3 to start the season, and it's apparently making Luke Walton's coaching seat very hot. According to Odd Shark, Walton is the favorite to be the first head coach to get fired this season. All right, Skip, will he be the first?
He will be the first, and this is just my gut feeling. I don't have anything to go on, no inside info. I don't think he makes it through the season. But I did say before the season, this basketball team as assembled, and you got your issues with it, it is simply the hardest team to coach in all my years of covering the NBA. I have no idea how he's going to work through all the rotation problems he's having to work through. And he got a break with the brawl and the suspensions because it sort of clarified the rotation because it took away Rondo, it took away Brandon Ingram. And when they come back, the problems will start up again. I think the mountain is even higher to climb than LeBron even imagined. And we talked earlier, boy, New Orleans looks really good. Denver looks really good. And the Clippers are interesting to me and are going to take pounds of flesh from a lot of Western Conference opponents and might be vying for that eight spot before it's all over. So all of a sudden, who's the scapegoat here if it goes a little south or if it's just sort of a 500 team as you wobble along into February, March? Somebody's got to go. Somebody has to be take the blame. And to me, even though I know Jeannie Buss really loves Luke, I think she loves him personally. Just he's fun to be around. He's a great guy. You've been around him. He's a really good-hearted guy. Does Magic love him? I think he likes Luke. Does LeBron love Luke? Well, he has no reason to love Luke. So again, LeBron can be difficult to coach, and Brian Shaw is sitting right there. And I have high respect for Brian Shaw. And he got stuck in a bad situation in Denver and he coached for parts of two seasons and it did not go well. But he is highly regarded and it would be a very easy segue to move him over one spot to another seat if they felt like they needed to jumpstart in March to make a playoff run just to maybe make the playoffs. It would make sense that the odd man out and the guy with the odds to be the first to go, it would be Luke Walton. So I've thought that from the start. I thought this is the wrong place, the wrong time for Luke.
So even when you picked them the, 47 win, seven seed, you thought it would be without Luke. Like he still
would
be fine.
I thought it was going to be really different. I didn't know then until, I know we're only three games in and it's early, but I'm seeing the problems manifest themselves as you have that they're even worse than I thought they're going to be for the Lakers. But the other thing that's just shocking me is the West is even deeper than I thought. I told you, I didn't have San Antonio in the playoffs. They're still pretty good.
They got two All-Stars.
I'm with you. I thought the same thing, that the Spurs weren't going to be that good and they would be the team that fell out. I'm not convinced of that. And I'm with you on Luke being the guy for a couple of reasons. The slow start hurts a lot because the Western Conference, you could find yourself, everybody's got them, they're going to be a top four seed and have home court. Mm-hmm. If you're in the bottom four and you got to play Golden State or Houston in the first round, you can get knocked out in the first round. And people can't just say, well, they'll be fine. All three of those games, they had a chance to win.
They did.
They win all three of those games. And then they go, well, those are the playoff teams. No, LeBron came here to be different. Change what they did a year ago. With the kids last year, they didn't win. And I know they beat Golden State once or something. Mm-hmm. But it's totally different this year from the standpoint that they're not looking at when you play the Lakers now with LeBron, it's a big game. It's not they got some kids and you might want to take the night off or not play as hard. It's totally different. And the same thing. Okay, I get it. Jeannie Buss loves Luke Walton. And Dan Gilbert loved David Blatt. Wasn't that his hire?
Right.
That was his hire, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, LeBron and results, and the same thing, Pelinka and Magic, they didn't hire him. They could like him, Skip, and you know that, and think highly of him, but he's not
their
guy.
They're not connected to him.
Yes, they're not. So it would be easier, Chris, to me,
if things go get really slow start, like if they don't beat the Suns tonight, that's a huge game.
You're not saying if they don't beat the Suns, he could get fired.
No, not get fired, but to be 0-4 and lose to the Suns, that would send an alarm to me.
Well, if it really goes south then and they need a scapegoat, he's the obvious choice. I mean, it's not going to be Pelinka or Magic. It's not going to be LeBron or maybe even some of the other young players. It's going to be Luke Walton. He should clearly be favored because, first of all, if you look around the league, the only other guys I could see getting fired maybe during the season are like Scottie Brooks and maybe Thibodeau. And I'm not even – again, this is not inside information. I'm not saying they're on the hot seat. But there are a lot of first-year coaches. There are a lot of established coaches that you just know aren't getting fired.
And there are teams that are just aren't that good. You know what I mean? So there's no expectations.
Yes, exactly.
And they're coaching those teams.
Hmm. So the one thing that can – because you're right, Skip. I mean, it's tough to have 10 guys or 8 or 9 that are on the same level. Because then you got to decide which ones do I play, who sits tonight, and guys get upset and all that. The only thing that I believe that can save Luke or the strongest chance of him being saved is if Magic and Pelinka really empower him. They give him the authority, the security to coach the team and to coach LeBron.
Yep.
And I don't, if Luke has the guts to coach LeBron and tell him, you got to do this, you got to do that.
Good luck.
Well, if the front office empowers him to do it, he can do it.
They didn't
again, if he's got the fortitude.
They didn't bring LeBron here.
No, LeBron's locked up for 4 years.
No, I know, but they didn't bring him here for him to be upset. What's he going to do? What? I mean,
if he's upset, what's he going to do?
I'm just
saying. If he pouts, it makes him look bad. Like, that's the thing a player, like, if LeBron doesn't go out and play well, it's just going to make him look bad because he's upset. Like, that's what happened. They wanted Eric Spoelstra out of there.
Yeah, but he lost that fight with Pat Riley.
And Pat Riley empowered him. And look, LeBron got 2 of his 3 rings in Miami under Spoelstra, a guy that had the authority to coach him.
Okay, but what happened? The report was from ESPN that LeBron went up to Pat's office and said, would you? So he had an option. He had Pat Riley, who was
sitting there,
a highly successful former head coach. And Pat said, I'm done.
If you're going to win, it's going to be with this guy. And that's what I think Magic and Pelinka, if they like Luke,
but the difference
need
is
to tell LeBron and just maybe look.
But Spoelstra was Riley's guy though. He's not their guy.
I know. Picked him.
I'm just saying that's his only chance of coaching this team is if they give him the power to do it. If he has to tippy toe and walk on eggshells around LeBron, then he's not going to be able to do it. It's as simple as that.
Okay, so everything's misfit to me because we're the glut. It manifests itself first is at point guard because the best point guard on the team by far is LeBron James. He was born to play that position. He's still the best passer in basketball. He's even in the first 3 games. He's had at least one pass a night where I just sat back and said, that's just too good,
That's just rare.
That's like gift. Like, thank you, God. That's what that is. And yet he says he wants to play off the ball. Then you have a young point guard who's still trying to prove himself that you're out on and you're kind of whatever on Lonzo. And then Rondo, who at Portland, he was the driving force of the team. And then he wasn't so good against Houston. But again, he's a very valuable piece. And I think LeBron trusts him a little more, even though I think LeBron has fun playing with Lonzo, playing off Lonzo. I like the way they looked the other night. And Lonzo is before your very eyes, he's becoming an adult. You can see it in his body and in his body language. So he deserves minutes. Rondo deserves minutes. And then the big preseason theme was, we love Brandon Ingram bringing the ball up the court. You do?
Well, he played point guard last year. Do you remember that stretch?
Okay.
He played pretty well.
All right.
That's part of the thing.
So?
Everybody's trying to bring the ball up.
So how are you going to – there's one basketball.
Right.
And there are only 5 spots on the floor for 5 players. And all of a sudden, the various Lances and Michael Beasley are going to say, it'll happen. It'll start. You're going to start hearing the murmurs out of the locker room. We deserve more minutes.
But here's the thing, Skip, that I don't understand. If LeBron kind of figured that – this was going to be a year that they were going to see what's going on and, like, give up the year like they couldn't win, then Lonzo Ball should have been your starting point guard. You got to play the young guy to see if there's anything there. Like, Rondo, to me, is more like a stopgap.
The injury, too, you know.
But even once he's playing,
like, he may keep it. Maybe when, you know, if he plays well. See, I'm
not convinced.
LeBron and Lonzo, if LeBron's on the ball, he can play with Lonzo. The way Lonzo's been shooting.
Well, if he's knocking down those threes.
And even though Lonzo's a point guard, he gets rid of the ball quick. So he's
Very quick.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I agree. But but that can make him, you know, used to playing off the ball. Whereas Rondo, who I think right now is probably better than Lonzo, his game, if LeBron's handling the ball, I don't know what you do with Rondo. Right? Because he's not a shooter. Yeah. So they got some – the thing that could save Luke as well is they're viewing this year as an experiment. Like, for all – as much as we've killed the roster, they're looking at it like it's 1 year.
Yeah, but I –
they're a bunch of one-year deals. And if it goes south, okay.
I don't think people are going to buy into that for the Lakers. If they fall and they're the seventh or eighth seed and get knocked out in the first round, this will be looked at as a
failure.
Here's
the point. Here's the difference. There's no pressure to win the championship this year, but trust me, there's huge pressure to make the playoffs, right? So if it starts to look like it's dicey that they're going to make the playoffs, that's when Luke's going to get in trouble. And the final piece to this puzzle we have not mentioned, and it's still shocking to me because it's, I guess it's early, but we have heard nothing lately from one LaVar Ball. And if Lonzo gets beaten out by Rondo, and Rondo's getting the bulk of the minutes every night, and he's the starting point guard, after a while, you just know it. It may take a month. It may take 6 weeks. I don't know, but LaVar is going to go off on this situation.
You know what, Skip? I think Magic got to him. We haven't heard.
Because it's amazing. He's been quiet.
I forgot about him until last night. I was thinking, whatever happened to LaVar Ball? Oh, I don't know.
I haven't minded it, though. I don't know.
It's nice.
And quiet.
I don't mind LaVar, though.
Oh,
I don't either. I like him. I miss you, LaVar. Where are you?
Come on, no mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.